Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas and welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church as we gather this Christmas morning. I hope that you all were warm and dry and safe overnight. I'm glad that you made it here safely. And if you're still at home, I hope you're continuing to be warm and dry and safe. Those are not just words I say. I'm really hoping that all of us were like that. It's been almost Minnesota cold. For those of you who've never experienced that, I apologize, but now you've seen it, all right? Next Sunday is the first Sunday after Christmas. It is still part of our Christmas season. It is also New Year's Day, and so next Sunday, we also have but one worship service. Also, at 9:30 in the morning, it will be a traditional service. Becky will be playing the organ with us, and I hope that you will continue to join us as we continue that season after Christmas. Next Sunday, one service, 9:30. I've been told there will be Sunday school at that service. And if there are children who are going to be at your house today, first of all, that's a cool thing, and I'm so glad for you. But the other is there are Sunday school bags with a Christmas message in the back. And so if you know there will be children and wish to share just a little bit about how much God loves them with those children, we have a Sunday school bag in the back. We've gathered this morning so that we can be in worship, to give thanks to God for the gift of the Christ child. So let us continue our worship by joining together in our opening song. The hymn is Joy to the World. Let us rise and sing together. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you gave us your only Son to take on our human nature and to illumine the world with your light. By your grace, adopt us as your children and enlighten us with your Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God. Now and forever.
The first reading is from the 62nd chapter of Isaiah.
Upon your walls, O Jerusalem, I have posted sentinels. All day and all night they shall never be silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it renowned throughout the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, I will not again give your grain to be food for your enemies, and foreigners shall not drink the wine for which you have labored. But those who garner it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather it shall drink it in my holy courts. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway, clear it of stones, lift up and ensign over the peoples. The Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to daughter Zion, see, your salvation comes. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. They shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. The second reading is from the third chapter of Titus. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Here ends the reading.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke in the second chapter. In that region there were shepherds living in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. This is the gospel of our Lord. May the grace and peace of our God be with you all this Christmas day. That night we were reading about, Joseph and Mary were trying to make it a silent night. That was their hope, more than anything, just some rest. They were exhausted. 2 weeks or more walking from Nazareth all the way down to Bethlehem was exhausting. Searching throughout Bethlehem for a place to rest and stay was exhausting. Delivering the baby, now that was exhausting. Joseph and Mary were hoping for a silent night, some time to recuperate, maybe a chance to get some much needed rest. Now it is true that both Mary and Joseph knew that their child Jesus was special and important, but they also knew that they were not important, not noteworthy, and any proof you needed of that was the stable that was around them instead of a palace. Mary and Joseph, though, had faith that God would lead them, would show them, and also that the child they were cooing over at the moment would step into the enormous shoes that he was going to fill when the time was right. What they were hoping for at that moment was some quiet and peace, was some rest and sleep. But if in a stable in Bethlehem, a new mother and a new father are hoping for a quiet, out in the heavens, the angels were triumphant. These messengers of God were excited. Michael and Gabriel have been bearing messages and preparing for this day, and the angel host could barely be contained. God's plan for the salvation of the world was moving apace. The true Messiah, God's chosen one, God himself is now human. And hope fills the air. The excitement rings through the angel host. And when Gabriel goes to announce the birth, the host follows in order to celebrate. And because of the excitement of those angels out in the fields, something else was happening. Now, the truth is that in that day and age, in and around that area, there was always shepherds in the fields abiding by their flocks at night. It's what happened every single day. In fact, it is the ubiquitousness of this scene that leads most people to discount it altogether. They also discount the shepherds themselves. They aren't held in any regard. They aren't really trusted. They are just always there in the background, never seen yet always seen, just there. And so that first Christmas night, there were shepherds doing what shepherds do. Some were watching, some were sleeping, some were by the fire talking. It was just another night, another day at work in a long line of days at work. And then all heaven broke loose. Gabriel shone forth in all his angelic glory, startling the shepherds, maybe even terrifying them. Gabriel says, I am bringing you news of great joy for all the people, he says. This message is for all humanity, and it's coming first to this forgotten group of shepherds on a hill outside of Bethlehem. Gabriel continues, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ, the Lord. Now this is news. God is acting in the world decisively. A Savior is born. And not just for the important grand high muckety mucks around, but also for shepherds and people like them. This will be a sign for you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth lying in a manger. Angel proclaims, and the shepherds hear that this Savior is not only for the high and mighty, but like them is coming from those who are usually left out and consigned to stables and hillsides on nights like this. And then from out of nowhere comes the angel host. No one has any idea how many they were, but they were praising God and singing glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace among those whom he favors. What I really want to talk about today is what happens next. When the last note of the angels is finished ringing throughout the heavens, when the last of the dazzling lights of those angels has faded away, what happens? What happens is that the shepherds believe what they heard. Among themselves, they decide that this is something that they need to see, that they need to share. They need to proclaim this message to anyone who will listen. God made this amazing truth known to them. Can they keep it only for themselves? Should they worry about anyone believing them? No, they need to go and proclaim and let this amazing news fill their lives, fill their conversations, fill their every action. God's love is now among us all, and they are going to go see him. Which brings us to our stained glass window, because that stained glass window helps us figure out what happens next. Because in that beautiful window, you see the shepherds with Mary and the baby Jesus. We are with those shepherds as we see that child who was announced by angels, praised by the angel host. But they find in a stable And they know that this babe is a savior for them as much as for anyone else. No matter how lowly or great the world sees you, this moment frozen in glass gives us an opportunity to add to our worship and our praise. But the question for us remains, what's next? We have spent weeks in anticipation and preparation. We have been counting down not only to the celebration of Christmas, but also for Jesus coming again. But what's next? Christmas is here. Christ is here. God's love for us all is so amazing that it came for us as a child. What's next? Can we come to this stable? Can we come to this space here? Awed by God's love shown, inspired by the gift of the Christ child, even for the likes of us, can we join the shepherds in telling and living the truth of this gift to everyone who will hear it and have it? Can we keep Christmas? Can we keep Christmas as we see that the people around us are just as real as we are? And try to look behind their faces for any differences and instead see their hearts hungry for joy. Can we walk into the world realizing that one of the most important reasons we exist is not what we will get from life, but rather what we can give to life all around us? Can we consider the needs of the children and remember those who are growing older? Can we believe and live and share the truth that love, God's love, is the strongest thing in the world, even as we're seeing it with us through a child? Can we keep Christmas always? In a couple of days, for much of the world, Christmas is over. The trees are down and people are getting ready for football and New Year's. The wonder of Christmas will be over for many. As Christians, we are encouraged to celebrate the 12 days of Christmas, remembering and celebrating God's gifts, remember and celebrating the angel chorus, the shepherds, both in their visit and in their proclamation. We are encouraged to keep Christmas as we allow the presence of Christ to fill us in the cuteness of a baby, but also in the strength of the sacrament. As we leave this place today, may we be filled with the love and the light, with the joy and the peace, with forgiveness and life, as we are saved and inspired by God's goodness. And then may we go into the world shining and living, loving and caring for all we meet. Merry Christmas. Amen. I invite you now to join with me in the Christmas Creed. I believe in Jesus Christ and in the beauty of the gospel begun in Bethlehem. I believe in the one whose spirit glorified a little town and whose spirit still brings music to people all over the world, in towns both large and small. I believe in the one for whom the crowded inn could find no room, and I confess that my heart still sometimes wants to exclude Christ from my life today. I believe in the one who the rulers of the earth ignored and the proud could never understand, whose life was among common people, whose welcome came from people of hungry hearts. I believe in the one who proclaimed the love of God to be invincible. I believe in the one whose cradle was a mother's arms, whose modest home in Nazareth had love for its only wealth, who looked at people as real and made them see what God's love saw in them, who by love brought sinners back to purity and lifted human weakness up to meet the strength of God. I confess my everlasting need of God, the need of forgiveness for our selfishness and greed, the need of new life for empty soul, the need of love for hearts grown cold. And now in the Word made flesh, we behold God's love for all people. Therefore, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Let us pray that the light of Christ will shine clearly in the words and deeds of Christians throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
That the angels' songs of goodwill may inspire the church to promote justice and lasting peace wherever there is oppression and violence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for the rulers of every land, that they may protect the rights of the poor and needy, work for the common good, and follow in the path of the Prince of Peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the children of the earth who suffer at the hands of wicked tyrants, that women and men of goodwill might come to their aid. Lord, in your mercy, Christ is present in the poor and homeless, in the refugee and the abandoned child. May God give us the wisdom and courage to serve those who suffer in our community. Lord, in your mercy. Christ was born for our health and salvation. Let us pray for all of the sick, the injured, the lonely and alone, that God may bless them with health and strength and hope. Lord, in your mercy. For visitors and travelers who join us in worship, that they may be welcomed as Christ and returned to their homes in safety. Lord, in your mercy, that our hearts be open to receive the Word made flesh in His Word and Holy Supper, and in the faithful witness of our brothers and sisters. Lord, in your mercy. Risen Christ, as your birth brings joy, your death and resurrection give us hope. Today we recall with joy the saints who have gone before us. Keep us all strong in hope, and may we ever rely on your love in this life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us joy, O Father, greater than the fleeting joys of this present world, the joy of those who have seen the light in great darkness. With men of old, may we come and adore the newborn King, even Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior, who lives and rules with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We thank and praise you, O God, for you are not distant and uninvolved in our lives and our world, but you have come to us humbly and gently, challengingly and irresistibly. Whoever receives you, whoever believes in your Son, becomes a child of God, born of the Spirit. So we remember Jesus and his birth and life, his suffering and victory. On the night before his crucifixion, Jesus shared his last meal with his friends. He took the bread and blessed it. Then breaking it, he offered it to them, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in memory of me." After the meal, he took the cup of wine and blessed it. Then he offered it to them, saying, "This is my blood shed for you and for many. Drink this in memory of me." So we eat and we drink and we remember with hope and joy the new life which comes to us in God's kingdom. God of grace, come to us again in this meal. Send down on us your Holy Spirit, and as we share this bread and wine, may we share in Christ's body and blood. May we offer ourselves to you again, and may we become one with Christ and with each other, a single, unified body and communion of saints. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, the Christ child, loves you all. And in the power of that love, I bid you now come to his table of grace.
Angels breathe.
Please rise and let us pray. Gracious God, in the incarnation of your Son, you have united earth and heaven. May we who have tasted heavenly things share the gifts of your presence with all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. And now may the God of the angels, who heralded Christ's birth, bring joy to your hearts this day and always. May the God of love, who gave his only Son to be born for you, fill you with love and peace. May Emmanuel, God with us, be with you in all your doings and all your celebrations until he brings you into his eternal kingdom. And may Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you and keep you now and forever. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. I hope you have a wonderful day, a blessed week. Please stay warm and dry and safe as you go into the world with hope.
May God's vision our mission.
That's what we get to do.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.